Stay tuned as we talk about an astonishing prophetic portrait in the Old Testament that points to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, in the New Testament. Today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick, our Bible teacher, is talking about an amazing prophetic picture of Yeshua HaMashiach in the Old Testament. The title of this series is Joseph, a Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah. I'll be back a little later with information about a special offer, so have your pencil and paper ready. Now with today's study, here is Dr. Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of our program. It's good to have you with us today as we continue our discussion of Joseph as a prophetic portrait of the Messiah. And today we come to the sixth parallel between Joseph and Jesus, and that is that they were both sent to Egypt in their youth. Let's look at it. Genesis 37:28 says, "Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit." That's where his brothers had thrown him. "And they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt." So Joseph, in his youth, was taken to Egypt. Now, what about Jesus? Let's look over here in Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Here's what it says. "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." Verse 14. "When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son." Now, what's he talking about there? Where did the prophet say, "Out of Egypt have I called my son"? Well, that's a messianic prophecy from Hosea chapter 11, where the prophet says, "When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt." Now, this is interesting because when you go back and read Hosea's prophecy in context, it's not talking about the Messiah, but about the nation Israel and her deliverance from Egypt. It recounts the story of the Exodus. And so what makes this so intriguing is the suggestion that the life of Jesus, in some sense, recapitulates the history of Israel. In other words, there is a vital link between Israel and her Messiah. Both are called God's son. Israel is God's son, and the Messiah is the Son of God. And the life of the Messiah follows the same general pattern as the history of Israel. For example, both Israel and the Messiah started out in Canaan. Then when they were very young, they went down to Israel, not as a matter of choice, but in each instance, it was a matter of survival. Israel had to go down to Egypt because of the famine that had engulfed the Middle East. Mary and Joseph took Jesus to Egypt because of Herod's attempted extermination of newborn Jewish infants. So both Israel and the Messiah took refuge in the land of Egypt, some 1,800 years apart. Then, after a period of time, they both had an exodus out of Egypt and back to Canaan. So just as the exodus out of Egypt signified the physical liberation and election of Israel, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, signifies the spiritual liberation and election of Israel. Jesus is a prophet like unto Moses. He is the great emancipator, the great liberator. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And throughout the events of the Exodus, as well as the early life of Jesus, we can see the hand of God guiding, providing, and sustaining. Now, this is something we need to think about. There is a very intimate relationship between Jesus the Messiah and his people Israel. And let me tell you something. One reason many Jewish people do not take the claims of Jesus Christ seriously is because they see him as a Gentile God. And one reason they see him as a Gentile God is that for almost 2,000 years, we have been doing everything in our power to transform the Jewish Messiah into a Gentile. You know, it's almost funny. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad. Someone showed me a Sunday school quarterly not long ago, and it had Jesus looking like a Gentile. Short hair, sideburns, dressed in this white Roman toga. He looked more like Caesar than he did like Jesus. You know what it reminded me of? That picture in that Sunday school quarterly reminded me of when we were in Rome in 1997 and we visited the catacombs. And there near the entrance to the catacombs, or at least the entrance where we went in, which is under Catholic jurisdiction, right there where you walk in, there's this statue of Jesus. And I had to do a double take because I couldn't believe my eyes. I mean, he looked like a Roman. He was dressed in a Roman toga and had Roman sandals on his feet. You know, the kind with the leather straps that wrap around the calves of the legs like the Romans used to have. I mean, he looked more like Julius Caesar than he did like Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's one reason we have been so ineffective in reaching Jewish people with the gospel, because Christianity has become so bogged down in Gentile trappings and Gentile traditions and this Romanized religion that is so far from the simple faith of that carpenter from Nazareth. It's this whole process of Romanizing the church and Gentilizing the church, if there is such a word. And you can trace it back to Constantine if you go back and read your history. It was during that time that the church was purged of its Jewish influence. And instead of being a Jewish church headquartered in Jerusalem, like it started out to be, it became a Gentile church headquartered in Rome. And let me tell you something, my friend. If you think you're going to get Jewish people, and I'm talking about Jewish people who know something about the Bible, if you think you're going to get Jewish people to adopt Constantine's paganism with its idols and icons and images and its veneration of Mary and all of its other religious trappings, let me tell you something, my friend, you're barking up the wrong tree. An Orthodox Jew will choose to die before he will bow down to a pagan god. Images and icons are anathema to an observant Jew. You say, Gary, what's your point? Are you just cranky today or what? No, my point is very simple. Those of us who are Gentile Christians need to let the Jewish Messiah be Jewish. Let him be Jewish. Let's quit trying to make him look and act and talk like a Roman. Let's quit putting Gentile words in his mouth. Let's strip away the Gentile trappings and the traditions of the last 1800 years and let him be who he really is, the Jewish Messiah. He was born a Jew and he died a Jew. He was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father as Melech HaMashiach, King Messiah, Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe. Did you know that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, the leadership of the Messianic community fell on the shoulders of Jesus' brother James? His Hebrew name was Yaakov HaTzadik, or in English, James the Just. Actually, the name is Jacob, but for some reason we say James in English, James the Just. James was an observant Jew. In fact, he lived like a Nazirite. They said he never cut his hair or his beard. He was a vegetarian. He never partook of wine or anything produced from grapes. He lived a very Spartan and simple lifestyle. He was Torah observant in every way, and he was known to spend hours and hours in prayer. In fact, when James was martyred in AD 62, and his disciples were preparing the body for burial, they found that his knees were calloused from having spent so much time on his knees in prayer. One source says his knees were like the knees of a camel with thick calluses. But here's the question we need to ask. What if James the Just walked into your church next Sunday morning? Is there room in your church for a strict Torah observant Jew? Would he feel welcome there? Would he feel comfortable? Or would he stick out like a sore thumb? Well, that's one reason we have messianic congregations. So Jewish believers have a place to go where they don't have to stick out like a sore thumb, where they don't have to put up with a lot of Gentile traditions and practices. But I think all of our churches should learn to accept this sort of diversity, Jews and Gentiles one together in the body of Christ. And listen, we need to let Jesus be Jewish. Let him be who he really is. Don't load him down with all sorts of Gentile baggage, because when the Jewish people get a glimpse of who he really is, the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, they can't help but be attracted to him. In fact, isn't that what Jesus himself said? He said, "If I be lifted up, I will do what? I will draw all men unto me." And I believe that includes the Jewish people. So our job is to lift him up, and then it's his job to do the drawing. So there's a very intimate relationship between Israel and her Messiah. There are even parallels in their early lives, like the fact that both Jesus and Israel went down to Egypt when they were young, and then when it was safe, they went back to Canaan. And that is point number 6 in our study of the life of Joseph. Well, we're out of time. Next time, we'll start with point number 7. I hope you'll plan to be here. It's been good to be with you. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. Until then, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying, God bless. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. If you've enjoyed today's program, you'll be glad to know that we've put all this information together on CD or cassette. The title is Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, and it's available for your gift of just $6 to this ministry. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397.
Shalom, this is Gideon Levitam. I would like to invite you this October to join us on the Book of Revelation Prophecy Tour. It will include the 7 churches, as well as the Isle of Patmos. Would you please call 1-800-926-5397, or please visit us online at cjfm.org/tours. We hope and pray that you can join us. This is Gideon Levitam saying Shalom, Shalom.
Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you? As Dr. Gary Hedrick continues, Joseph, A Prophetic Portrait of the Messiah, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.